This day is a very holy day, amen. But even in the holiness of the day, we're not hopeless, amen. We have hope in our Messiah, our Mashiach that came. He conquered death in the grave. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, amen. He lives forever as a high priest to intercede for us. We have hope this day, amen. We're not hopeless. We're not hoping if the goats are going to be accepted. We're not hoping if the sacrifices are going to be accepted, brothers. We have hope, amen. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, Father, King, Lord. I pray that this message would be pleasing in your sight, Father. I pray that you invigorate every single one of us, Lord, with your spirit, with your truth, Lord, with your reality, Lord. Fill us with your passion for your truth, passion for your word, Father. May this word be a word that is edifying to your people. May we take from it, Lord, what you have for us, Lord. Anything that I should have added that I didn't, Lord, may you supplement. Anything that I missed, Lord, bring it in, Father. Anything that I've added, Lord, may you strike it. May the name of the Mighty One, the Holy One of Yisrael, become bigger, greater, more magnified, more lifted, more exalted. May the name of its water become lesser. Amen. Amen. Yom Kippur. I'm going to read these verses, but it's serious verses. It's a verse that are associated with sacrifices. This day is a day full of sacrifices. You read Leviticus 16, it's all about sacrifice. It's all about sacrifice. Not just the two goats, but the ram. Not just the ram, but also the bull for Aaron, the high priest. Leviticus 16 says, tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil. Why? Because God's presence is there. You're not just going to come in there like you know him like that. That makes sense? Not just any time you're going to come. There is a purpose and a way that we need to approach our God. Amen? For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. Aaron shall enter the holy place with this, with the bull. We talked about that, the ram. He's going to put on the linen garments. Not only is he coming with the right stuff, but he's dressed for the appointment. Amen? We need to ask ourselves, are we dressed for the appointment that the Lord has given us? Are we prepared for what God has for us? We don't have to wonder what God needs us to do. He has laid out what he needs us to do, which is to approach him, to seek him, to find his will for our life, and to walk through with it. Amen? He shall take from the congregations of the sons of Israel two goats, the ram. Aaron shall offer the bull for himself, that he may make atonement for himself and for his household. If you wonder why the Yom Kippur service is laid out the way that it does, with the rabbi or the leader making intercession for himself, it follows this model. As we seek to lead our houses, lead our families, as we seek to do the things that the Lord calls us to, are we in the right place with the Lord for ourselves before we can lead others? Amen. We're all leaders and we're all followers in different ways. We follow Messiah, we follow our leaders, but we also need to lead the ones that are behind us. And this shall not be for a day or a week or a month, but this Yom Kippur service needs to be something that is a perpetual command forever. Then in the 10th day of the month, you will humble your souls. You shall afflict yourself. Don't do any work. Doesn't matter if you're Jewish or not Jewish. You're a sojourner. You're dwelling with Israel. You're a native born. You're a natural branch. You're a foreign weird branch, an exotic branch. Doesn't matter what kind of branch you are, but we are called to humble ourselves, to afflict our souls. Amen. This is why we're fasting. And this is part of the cleansing for ourselves. Does it matter? Let me ask you a question. Do you think the actual fasting does anything? There are people here who do intermittent fasting, where that's the process where you fast from, you pick your 12 hours, 16 hours, there's different ways to do it, but you take a period of fasting, and what it does is it allows your body to process food better. So you actually wind up losing weight, retaining less fat, so people do that, okay? It's not just the physical fasting. If you intermittent fast, Yom Kippur is 2 days for you, okay? Because you already got a head start on everybody else. And if that's you, you know who I'm talking to. 2 days of Yom Kippur. It is a forever command. See, it's not just about the fact that we're not eating or not drinking. There's different ways to fast. May the Lord lead you in that. But the point is that as you're fasting and giving up something, you're directing your energy towards the Lord. This is why on this day we fast. This is why we push off the things. And this week, as I was thinking about sacrifices, I'm thinking about Yom Kippur, I'm thinking about Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah that was coming and past. And I was at work and I was reading in Exodus 5, because if it's slow, I read the Bible. Not always, but sometimes. It's good to do that. Amen. If you can find some free time, free space, may you be consumed with God's word. Amen. And I promise you that if you do that, the Lord will illuminate things in his word that you never thought could have been there. Amen. So Exodus 5, I was in, because I like to read the book of Exodus in Hebrew, and it says, "And afterward, Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, 'So said the Lord God of Israel, send my people out and let them sacrifice to me in the desert.'" Sacrifice. I read that passage many, many times before. It doesn't say sacrifice there. The NASB 1995 edition says, "Let my people go that they may celebrate a feast to me," it says in another English translation. What's the difference? The first one is a Jewish translation. The second one is a normal English translation. So when we say the word that's there is the word chag. When we say chag sameach, when we say a festival, a celebration, when we talk about a feast, a celebration, what are you really celebrating? An after party? Cocktail hour? Happy hour? What are we celebrating? What did the Lord have in mind when he was talking about chag, when he was talking about celebration, when the Lord was talking about, come to the wilderness, come, I'm going to deliver you, Moses, you go talk to Pharaoh. Tell them to let my people go that they can sacrifice to me / celebrate a festival to me. What was the Lord saying? There's something joined in it. And I think so many times when we read English, I like English, that's my mother tongue. No one refers to English as their mother tongue, right? English is my mother tongue, right? It's the first language I learned how to speak. It's the first language I said bad things in. I've learned more as I've gotten older. But sometimes we think so much in English that we miss the nuance of what was being said in the original language. We miss the complexity of layers. Let me explain something to you. If you went up to someone who doesn't speak English, and a storm is happening, and you told them, "Dude, it's raining cats and dogs outside." This person might be like, "Dude, what are you talking about? There are dogs raining from the heaven, right? Coming down outside." You see how idioms can get messed up in another language if you don't have it? In Hebrew, this chag is celebrated, is together, not just a celebration, but also a festival. I was reading one of the commentaries just to make sure it wasn't just me, but Ibn Ezra. This guy, he wasn't just a rabbi. He knew the Hebrew really well. He wrote grammar books on the ancient Hebrew in the medieval period. He too says that the root that's translated here as celebrate refers to a sacrificial offering in many other places. A celebration and a sacrifice are together, brothers and sisters. This Yom Kippur, this Chag, these things that we commemorate are sacrifices and celebrations together, mixed together. Don't miss that. It says here, Exodus 34, "You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor is the sacrifice of the feast of Passover to be left over until morning." The sacrifice of the feast of Passover. If you read in the Hebrew, it says the sacrifice of the sacrifice of Passover. Because what's not being left over? What's not being left over? It's the korban. It's the chatat. It's the sin offering that's being given that's not being left over. The Lord is God, Psalm 118:27. He has given us light. Bind the festival sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You know what it says in Hebrew? Lanu esru chag ba'avotim. It says to bind the festival with cords. Festival and sacrifice are deeply intertwined. Every time we come to celebrate up to the Lord and celebrate what he asked for us, we are sacrificing of ourselves. Not just on Yom Kippur and Shabbat, Rosh Chodesh, all the things the Lord calls us to commemorate, all the things that the Lord speaks from his mouth, they are celebrations, things that we can participate of, but they cost something of us. Everything. Everything the Lord is calling you to do, you're either choosing his way or not his way. You're choosing his path or the path of the world. So when I looked this book up, this word up in a very academic dictionary, that gives you the word in other languages, how people have used it. It says that this word chag, which is this celebration, a sacrifice, this festival, is related to the word Hajj in Arabic. Chag and Hajj, do you see how they sound the same? What's the point? What do you want to know Arabic for? I'm going to start quoting the Quran up here. It's not going to happen. But the bottom line is this, that there is a relationship between the sacrifices that we make and what the Lord is calling us to. And so in the Arabic, they have the word Hajj. So when you go to Mecca, Medina, it's called a Hajj. That make sense? So the pilgrims, and this is what happens in when they have a Hajj and they go to Mecca. They enter Mecca. They don't cut their hair or their nails until the pilgrimage is over. Listen to what they do. They enter Mecca. They walk 7 times around the sacred shrine called the Kaaba, the black stone that they smooch. They kiss or touch the black stone. And in the Kaaba, they pray twice in the direction of Maqam Ibrahim, which is the stone that's associated with Abraham, the altar that he built up. And then they run 7 times between the minor prominences of Mount Safa and Mount Marwah. So they run 7 times between these two mountains. Now, if you think these two mountains are from here to there, you are sadly mistaken. They are 2.2 miles from one another. If you could put that picture up real quick, Zach and Dan. That would be running all the way from here to Quakertown. The 7 times that they do it equals running from here to Quakertown. In case you want to know which way to go, I gave you 3 options. Continuing on the 7th day, the pilgrims are reminded of their duties. At the 2nd stage of the ritual, which takes place between the 8th and 12th day, they visit the holy place outside of Mecca. They sacrifice animals in commemoration of Abraham's sacrifice, Ibrahim. They male pilgrims shave their heads. Female pilgrims remove a lock of their hair. How would you know the difference? After the pilgrims throw 7 stones at 3 walls on 3 successive days, and this symbolizes hitting the devil with stones. About 2 million persons do this once per year. About 2 million people complete the Hajj each year, okay? Once a believer has completed the pilgrimage, he or she may add the title Hajj or Haji to his name. The pilgrimage, if properly performed, is believed to wipe out previous sins for the sincere believer. Their Hajj is associated with all these things they have to do. Brothers and sisters, the true Chag of the Lord is filled of all these things that we need to do. Amen. So the title of the message is The Hajj of Allah or the Chag of Hashem. Thanks. The Lord gave it to me. In a vision, in a night, I saw. One like a son of man. No, just kidding. The Hajj of Allah or the Chag of Hashem. Whose side are you on, really, brothers and sisters, when we think about what we celebrate? See, because the reality is it makes sense that Islam would take this and pervert it. It seems like man would try to find a way to ascribe himself to God, that they would take the holy things of the Lord and pervert it. We think there are things that are a little true and a little bit of a lie. The reality is if something has a little bit of a lie inside of it, it's a complete lie. There's no half-truths, three-quarter-truths, 85% truths, amen? Something has to be completely true. And so when we think about our lives, we think about how we live, we think about what we do, we need to understand where does truth truly come from? Who is truth? What is truth? And indeed, truth is Yeshua the Messiah. Amen? Yeshua said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. That means he's the way, brother and sister. He's the path. See, these Muslims, they want to go to Mecca, and they want to go on this path to find healing and wholeness. Right? Are there other paths that we have out there that professes to be wholeness and healing to us? When the Bible talks about Hasatan, it says that he even disguises himself as an angel of light. See, if I just read to you what the Hajj is about, you would say, this is probably a good thing. This is probably good for someone's soul. They're getting exercise of 16 miles a day. That's a lot of steps, right? This is good stuff, right? But when we look deeply into these things, there is a promise attached with the Hajj of Allah that only Yeshua the Messiah can give us, which is the forgiveness of sins. wholeness, completeness, fellowship with our God. See, the Hajj of Allah, I want to submit this to you, and I believe the Lord wants us to think about this. The Hajj of Allah is like all these Hajjs that we have in the world. All these pursuits, all these things we desire, all these things that we go after that aren't centered on the true Hashem, the God of Israel, the mighty one of Israel. These are the Hajjs of Allah. Everything that you devote your energy to, that you are finding wholeness and healing and completeness from, that is not centered on the mission that the Lord has you on, is a mission that is in vain, brothers and sisters. But the true thing that takes away sin is we're on this Yom Kippur day, this Yom Kippur. Wait, how does sin truly get dealt with? How is sin truly satisfied? 1 John 3 says, you know that he, Yeshua, appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. I can't believe how these modern liberal theologians, Christians, preachers, rabbis, and different people take the text and they come up with these ideas that are so not based on what the text actually says. People say, he was a good teacher, he was possibly a prophet, he was a rabbi, no doubt. The things that Yeshua says and the things that are said about Yeshua doesn't make him just a rabbi. Doesn't make him just a teacher or just a prophet or just a good man. It makes him indeed the Holy One of Israel. And we miss that, right? People miss that. They want to say, you know, he was a good guy. He taught good things. Look, he said that he sees into the hearts of mankind while he's on earth. He knew the thoughts that they were thinking, and he responds to their thoughts without them saying it. He comes up to the person who's a paralytic and he says, you know what? Your sins are forgiven. Who can forgive sins but God? So Yeshua must be the Holy One of Israel. Amen? In Yeshua, Ephesians 1:7 says, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. Not from kissing a black stone. I would not want to be the 2 millionth and one person that kisses that black stone. Besides, well, depends who's going before me. I wonder, as I go through life, I wonder if I know this, that when the Lord looks down and he sees us, the truth of how we live are weighed. And I think it's not a coincidence that much of the Yom Kippur and the entering of the holy place instructions are paired right after the sin of Aaron's sons, Nadav and Abihu. So as we talk about participating in the Chag of Hashem, the Chag of the Lord, the Chag of Adonai, Hashem just means the name, the divine name of the Lord, and it's not Allah. Did you bring your sacrifice today? Aaron says, he shall take from the congregation the sons of Israel 2 male goats for sin offering, 1 for burnt offering. Then Aaron shall offer the bull for the sin offering, which is for himself. He shall make atonement for himself and for his household. He shall take the 2 goats and present them before the Lord. Continue on Leviticus 16. Then he shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil and do with its blood as he did with the blood of the bull and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and in front of the mercy seat. And indeed, when Aaron took the 2 goats and the 1 goat that was going to be set, he put his hands on it and he confessed the sins of Israel over the goat. Hebrews 9:22 says, and according to the law, one may almost say all things are cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Many times people miss Yeshua's coming. I was listening to a rabbi, an Orthodox rabbi, say that Yeshua can't be the high priest for the people. And one of the reasons why he says Yeshua can't be the high priest is because he's not from Levi. The new covenant never claims that he was from Levi. See, when in Exodus 25, 40, when Moses goes up onto the mountain, the Lord says that I'm going to show you everything. I'm going to show you the image, the tavnit, of the whole entire tabernacle. See, so Yeshua, when he gives himself and he offers his blood, he goes into that place that Moses saw. He ascends that heavenly place and he applies his own blood in that place. Not only is he the perfect sacrifice, but he's also the perfect sacrificer. And on this Yom Kippur, I think so many people who are believers get lost in much of the other things that are associated with it without recognizing the high priest ministry of Yeshua the Messiah. Are you familiar with it? Do you understand Yeshua's high priestly sacrifice? Hebrews 8, 9, and 10, what he's done? The severity of what he's initiated? Imagine this. Imagine Yeshua never came, God forbid, 2,000 years ago. What would the hope for the world be? There'll be no forgiveness of sins. There'll be no expiation of sin. Man will be completely left, lost to himself. And I know where that brought me. You know where that brought you. Thank you, Lord, for Yeshua the Messiah. Amen. Hebrews 9 says, but when Messiah appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle. This tabernacle became corrupted, right? Did the Lord ever ask for a temple? The Lord never asked for a temple. The Lord desired to dwell in the midst of his people to be there with them. And indeed, Yeshua does this. Amen. He entered through the greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood. He entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Messiah, who through the eternal spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And this is the point, and this is the key, that Yeshua wants to cleanse you and make you whole for what? Just so you can walk around shining, glistening with a nice kittle on and a nice tallit so you can look shiny? The point is that Yeshua wants you to fulfill the work and the purpose that he has for you, brothers and sisters. And if you are not fulfilling the purpose of the Lord on this Chag, if you are not taking this sacrifice, this holy day, this celebration deeply into yourself, then you are missing the point of what the Lord has you on. If you are not on the Chag of Hashem, then you are the Hajj of Allah. And I spent the past few minutes explaining to you the way the forgiveness works, the way the sacrifice works, the way we need to come to him and confess our sins so we could be made whole. Why? Not just so we can be made whole. So many of us want to receive solely from the hand of the Lord, but we don't want his face. Many who pray and seek him only seek him when things go bad. The fastest way I call on the Lord is if my car slips on the highway. Right? And that's a natural reaction, right? To say, you know, you're slipping, Lord, help me, right? Lord, you know, you slip, oh Lord, right? And we're like that in many things. Things go south and we want to call out to the Lord. We want to seek the Lord. But are we truly living that whole entire path? Not just when we feel like we need him for the simple mundane things in life, but when everything we need him, amen? I want my conscience cleansed, and it has been cleansed because of Yeshua the Messiah. It's interesting that they just walk in a circle in the same place for the Hajj. Over and over and over again. Is your life a circle going around and around and around over again without any successes in the Lord? I think we need to weigh that. We need to think about that. If you've been a believer with the Lord 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and you're not any deeper with him, you don't know him more intimately than you did before, you are doing something wrong, brothers and sisters. Are you dancing around that black stone, which is a pagan idol? Are you really living the life that the Lord calls you to? Are you bringing forth the fruit of the Spirit? Are you putting away those things that the Lord is calling you to put away? Are you truthful about your struggles and about your hard times and your hurts and your pains and your anguish? Are you truly coming to seek healing to find that place where the Lord wants to put you? See, I can't imagine being Aaron. I have two new little boys now, 3 and a month. And I can't imagine that they do something wrong. The Lord strikes them. And then the Lord tells me to pick up the work that they missed. Imagine being Aaron. What would your reaction be? And there's many things like that, brothers and sisters. This is why Yeshua is clear. Anyone who loves his family, mother, brothers, and sisters more than me is not worthy of me. If you don't hate your father, mother, brothers, and sisters, you're not worthy of me. Isn't that intense? Aaron had to look at the bodies of his dead sons while he was in the point of mourning, and he still had to continue doing the things that the Lord called him to do, even though his sons were dead. That's what it is to be on the Chag of Hashem. That's what it is to celebrate the Lord and to go through no matter what falls around, no matter what chips fall around you, no matter what hard times come around you. You with me? And I think so many times when things get hard, we want to tap the mat, right? We want to say, you know, I need a break. This is too much. Life is too hard. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know the pain I have. You don't know the hurt I've been through. We are called to continue on the path that the Lord has us no matter what happens around us, brothers and sisters. And that's what Aaron did. Aaron had his sons dead before him. His two sons, Nadav and Abihu. The boys he raised, he carried them, played with them. Put the, you know, pacifier of stone in their mouth. I don't know what they made pacifiers out of, but put the pacifier in their mouth. He rocked them, he held them, he fed them. Took care of them, saw them grow up, taught them to be Kohanim, to be priests. And they failed. Was Aaron allowed to stop what the Lord had called him to do because his sons were dead? Are you allowed to stop what the Lord called you to do because life is difficult or life is hard? These people traveled 16 miles as part of drawing closer to Allah. What are you willing to do for the mighty one of Israel? What are you willing to put aside? People do so much for so little. If you look at Jehovah's Witnesses, they have hours that they have to be out to reach the hierarchy of membership. They will knock on your door. They'll give you pamphlets. They're out there, right? Hot, cold, rainy, whatever. They're there. Umbrella, little tent, all that. And they will come out and they will give you stuff and they'll spend hours and hours and hours out there. And do you know Jehovah's Witnesses and their theology? They don't even have a hope of being in heaven with the Lord. Only the 144,000 are there. They're only on earth. They didn't even get to be in Shemayim in heaven. They do so much for so little. We need to be inspired to be more sacrificial for our Messiah, because if we're not sacrificial, if we're not living the life that the Lord calls us to, we are living our lives in vain, brothers and sisters. We are missing the opportunities that the Lord called us to because we are called to be effective. Every gift, every ability, everything that the Lord has taught you to do, every hurt, every pain, every good thing you've done, every bad thing you've done, the Lord wants to take all of that and allow you to use it for his glory and for his name. Amen. Zolas, the world desires to have you. The world desires to consume you. Jobs, family, all these other things. But look at what John says about what is in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Do you want to live forever? Or are you good with your 30, 40, 50, 80, 90 years that the Lord gave you? We need to take a moment and really understand that this world is passing away, right? We need to take a real inventory of how we live and the decisions that we make. And Yeshua is not looking for you to be dragged across the floor talking about, oh, I don't want to do that. Ugh, fine, I'll do it, right? Yeshua is looking for willing sacrifices on this Chag of Hashem. Why? Because Yeshua did the same thing. For this reason, the Father loves me because I laid down my life. Yeshua wasn't forced to lay down his life. Yeshua laid down his life because he decided to. And so that he may take it up again. No one has taken it from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. And look at the power of Yeshua. He says, not only that, but I have the authority to lay it down and I have the authority to take it up again. Does this sound like someone who's just a good prophet, a teacher, a rabbi? To have such a control and a capacity to control death and life in his own self. This isn't just a regular man walking down the street with 12 disciples. He himself has the authority to lay down his life, to offer himself, and indeed to take up that life again. And he was willing. It's like when people say, Lord, you know, I would give you $1 million if I had it, right? You never had $1 million, right? Yeshua himself had the authority to not give his life. Yet he chose to lay that life down for the fruit that would be brought up in the end. He was on the Chag of Hashem. He was on the path, the direct that the Lord chose him on. And indeed, he is that path. Amen? First John 2:6 says, the one who says he abides in him and Yeshua ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. Are you living as that willing sacrifice? Because if you're not living as a sacrifice and you're sacrificing to other things, remember, in the ancient world, they sacrificed to all types of stuff. They were sacrificing to Molech. They were sacrificing to Baal. The Greeks were sacrificing to their Greek gods. Everyone was sacrificing to whatever they wanted to sacrifice to. In this modern world, we make sacrifices too, all of the time. But are you living your life as that living sacrifice unto Yeshua the Messiah? That is what the point is, to be on the Chag of Hashem, to be on the path, on the derech, the way of the Lord. Amen? Romans 12:1 says, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. That's what he's calling us to do, brothers and sisters. The theme of Yom Kippur, of being a day of judgment, on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, the judgment is rendered. On Yom Kippur, the day is sealed. Okay? But remember that if atonement is not made on today, that sin remains on the head of the people. And when that final day comes, the Lord will render the judgment of who were his and who weren't. Psalm 37:28 says, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. See, if you're not on the Chag of Hashem, you're going to be cut off. This is the reality and the bottom line and the point. If you are not on Yeshua's path, all that is left is to be cut off. And let me tell you something, brothers. I have the most amazing life in Yeshua the Messiah than the life that I have without him. Different struggles, different battles. But my, what hope and what amazingness I have in Yeshua. Amen. And the biggest fear that I have is that we go through the holy days and we go through the Moedim and we go through Shabbat services and we go through all these different appointments that the Lord has for us, these holy days. And I feel that so many people just go by it and they're the same as they were before. They're the same as last Shabbat. They're the same as before. Those that did say yes to the Lord in this community, who have applied themselves to live in his way, are having full lives in Yeshua. Amen. I'm a product of that. Amanda's a part of the product of that. Dan is. Zach and Lee and Kathy Joe knew the Lord already when they came to us. They were ready to go. Plug and play. But I think many of us came broken. Fractured, empty. And with the leadership of this community, by the power that the Spirit gave them, we were able to find wholeness and completeness in Yeshua the Messiah. And I wonder that how many more are missing? How many are missing the opportunity that God has to be made whole on this chag? Every chag, every appointment, every celebration of the Lord that we're required to be a sacrifice, are you missing out? Are you not even participating? Are you not even coming to it? Remember, you can't just come. You couldn't just come to the temple and hang out there and think that your sins were atoned for. You had to be part of the process of inclining yourself towards what was happening. Are you inclining yourself towards what is happening today and what the Lord is calling to? Amen? The Hajj of Allah is death. The Chag of Hashem is life. Amen? So from 1 Kings 18, Elijah came near to all the people. How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. If Yeshua the Messiah is Lord, then may we serve him wholeheartedly, people. Amen. May we abandon everything that's contrary to him. If we truly believe that he's Lord, may we live lives differently. May this Yom Kippur not be like the Yom Kippurs we had before. May we go ever deeper with the Lord. Amen. People listening online, people here in the congregation, people who watch this later, may we go deeper with the Lord. Amen. Because today is the day to choose. And what's so crazy is that the people were silent to Elijah when he answered them. Don't be silent, brothers and sisters, of the call that the Lord has given you today. To walk in his ways, to walk in his truth, to walk in his reality, to grow more deeply with him. Because there's only two paths. You have the path of what this world has, what this world offers, or you can have the path of the Lord, the God of Israel, who has given us Yeshua the Messiah and made us whole. And then Moses came from Exodus 19 and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words. This is right after the giving of the 10 words, which the Lord had commanded him. All the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So you have two different scenarios. Elijah goes up to the people and says, look, if he's the Lord, worship him. The people are silent. Then you have the other scenario where Moses comes to the people and he says, look, this is what the Lord says. And then the people says, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. What is your answer on this Yom Kippur? Will it be an answer of silence because your answer of silence is a rejection of him? Or will you answer positively that you will serve the Lord? All that he has spoken, you will do. And what this requires is being consumed with his word. Be consumed with developing a prayer life. Be consumed with doing the things that Yeshua calls us to do. Be consumed with killing the flesh. Killing the flesh is the hardest thing you're ever going to have to do in your life. I guarantee it. We're all in that process. But rejecting the things that you want out of your flesh so bad hurts. I'm talking about literal pain. If you never rejected sin for something that you wanted, you don't know what I'm talking about. But when you truly want something, when your flesh wants something and you fight that thing by the power of the Spirit, it hurts. You know that prayer about where the verse says, resist the devil and he will flee? There's a couple more things that happen in between that, right? From the resisting to when he flees that the Bible doesn't really talk about in that section, right? When you begin to resist the devil, right? And you say, look, I don't want that thing. I don't want to look at that thing. I don't want to go here. I don't want to hang out with that person. I don't want to drink this thing. I don't want to do that. I don't want to do this drug. I don't want to be depressed. When you begin to resist the devil, he doesn't automatically just run, right? What happens, I mean, you know, you would think that if you never really did it. But if you've tried to resist the devil, he doesn't just disappear, right? There is that true fighting. That's why another place in scripture talks about, you have not resisted sin to the point of shedding blood. When Yeshua was in the garden, and I share this often because I think this is such a clear glimpse into the humanity of Yeshua. When Yeshua was in the garden, right after he's betrayed, he's about to go up, he's about to be betrayed, Garden of Gethsemane, he's there, and he's so tormented by what he's about to face and endure in his flesh. That in the flesh, a part of Yeshua must have not wanted to go to the cross, right? There must have been a flesh part of him that didn't want the pain. You understand? Because or else, why is he anguished in the garden? Because he's got something else to do? He's got a busy schedule? No, right? He must be anguished because of the pain that he's about to endure. And there must have been a conflict, right? He even tells the father, take this cup from me, if possible, but not as I will, as you will. Yeshua asked for the cup to be taken from him, of the cross. And as he's there, dealing with the anguish of what he's about to do, remember, he didn't say he wouldn't do it. He said, if possible, that he didn't have to do it, he'd be okay with that. But not as he wanted, as the Father wanted. So he drinks from that cup, meaning he's going to go to the cross. And as he's dealing with the anguish and prayer, blood begins to pour out of his head. Do we struggle with the reality of what God is calling to us to in that sense, in that measure, in that height? On this Yom Kippur, we need to be like that, brothers and sisters. We need to be at the point where we're saying, look, Lord, this is a difficult thing. If possible, take it from me. If not, but your will. But to wrestle and struggle with the things that the Lord is calling us to. Because these things aren't easy. We each have a path and a purpose for which the Lord made us to bring glory to his name. And we need to be on that path, brothers and sisters. And we miss it. Because all these things that glitter, all these things that shine, all these things that look nice, the ways of the world always distract us. And even if you've been walking with the Lord for 10, 15, 20 years, you got an awesome life, you got a godly marriage, all that stuff is good, stuff still happens. Stuff still comes around. We need to get to that deeper place with the Lord, where we're constantly battling the flesh, we're killing the flesh, we're killing our worldly desires, we're killing our lust of the eyes, we're killing the things that we desire that are contrary to him. And how do we learn what's contrary to him? It's by being consumed with his word and spending time in his presence and in his spirit. Amen. May this chag be a chag where we are more deeply consecrated to our Messiah. May the rest of the service be a service where we are deeply consumed with the things of the Lord and that we are listening intently to what the Lord is going to speak to his people for the rest of his service. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, Father King, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would move immensely, Lord, in the rest of this service, Lord, and continue, Father. Fill us with your spirit. Speak to us, Father. We invite you, Lord, and all that the Lord has spoken, thus we will do in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.